Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, a podcast where we talk about queer and Latinx topics such as
Buzz Lightyear and Woody on Toy Story. They're like your typical enemies to lovers storyline. Like, they hated each other and then they like loved each other, you know? I don't know why they didn't just make it a thing. There's been four movies now. There's been four whole ass movies.
Four opportunities.
Yeah, and they just didn't make it happen. Same thing with Jesse and Bo Beep. Like, what's wrong with y'all?
Missed opportunity.
Yeah. Though I will say I appreciate on Toy Story 4, you very briefly see a two lady parents or whatever. Very briefly.
Word.
Very
briefly.
What up, cabrona?
What's poppin', chingona? What's goody?
Pride month is almost gone. I don't know where the fuck this month went. Like, time is homophobic for moving so fast.
I'm kind of glad it's over, because then we can all stop pretending to like rainbows and like that's pretending? Not my aesthetic.
What do you mean?
I can go back to just wearing all black and being like a sad emo.
Yeah.
Gay.
I mean, I definitely don't wear like rainbows on a daily basis or anything, or pretty much at all. But nope. I am more colorful than I used to be. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I see the splash of color now, and I've been doing it too, so fuck it. Yeah. Oh my god, dude. Oh, dude, you know what's homophobic? This heat. This motherfucking heat in Texas. Fuck you, Texas.
Oh, I can't relate.
For a lot of reasons. I know, but whatever, dude. That one time a year that it gets 100 degrees, you're gonna feel that shit.
I know, I just bought a new fan. I'm like preparing, I'm like for war.
Oh god, I can't even imagine. It's like Mexico, bro, when it's like no AC and it's 100 degrees, you're dying.
It's pretty like wild. But I do have a friend that lives like a mile away or so, who has air conditioning. Mm-hmm. So I hope she knows.
Okay, work.
What's up, Maddie? I'm gonna be at your place. What's up? When that day comes,
when it's 98 degrees, bye, I'm there.
Yeah.
Just save me a key. That's litty as fuck.
I'll bring the chelas, you bring the AC.
Hey.
Yeah.
Dude, so, I mean, you've been spending a lot of time at a pool. So proud. At a pool,
I'm like, you can't see it. Let me put my brightness up so you can see it. I got me a nice little sunburn on my nose.
You're, like, kind of gold.
Yeah, and, like, my arms are, like, wild, like, not white right now.
Are you, like a color?
Look at that.
You are a color. Are you okay? You guys, you don't understand. Maita's like really light skin. We both are, right? And then we both been seeing the sun lately, so we are not light skin anymore.
Shout yeah. Out. So I mean, we are still light skin, but I got a little sun kissed, and for me, it's like I don't mind being like whatever color that I am. Don't care. But my nose is getting a little burned, and that's the only thing I don't like, that my nose is burned.
Oh
yeah.
Mike the red nose reindeer. What like up? A, shout
like
out.
Red nose.
Oh, is shit. Anyways, Pride Month. Dude, have you been playing that Wizards fucking game?
Wizards Unite? I've been playing it all day today. I went to Del Amo Mall, which is like this humongous mall in Torrance.
Uh-huh.
And I was playing over there with Angel from Let Me Know Pod. Yeah. He's like...
it's a lifestyle.
I like it. We went to the Vans store and looked at the Vans has this Harry Potter line. I already bought all the Hufflepuff stuff, so I'm done. Yeah.
You repping hard as
I'm
fuck,
I'm repping
huh?
so hard. And actually, for this pool party that we were at this weekend, I found an old Hufflepuff shirt that I had. So I just have all the Hufflepuff swag.
Harry Potter aesthetic coming to you soon. Gang.
I think like my apartment is kind of like a hub. Kind of like on Pokemon Go, you know, the whole thing. So I think it's kind of a hub. So I see people like outside my apartment, like randomly doing shit on their phone. I'm like, oh, I see y'all.
Yep, same. There's a gym right next to us, and it's like a little, like, greenhouse thing where you get the plant.
Yeah, you can grow. Yeah. Same. I have like a hub and a greenhouse thing. Anyways, Wizards Unite. I posted my thing on Twitter a couple of days ago for you guys, so go add me if you want. I don't know what it does to have friends. I don't know if you can see each other's shit or not, but maybe they'll do something with it later.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you can battle people eventually at some point together, like in Pokemon, but...
That would be really cool.
Physically in the same space together, though, so...
Fuck it. Let's have a CYC Wizards meetup.
So down. Anyway, so today, what are we talking about, Maite? I'm really excited.
Me too. And there's a few other things we want to talk about before we get to it.
Oh,
but,
yes. Yes.
Before. But we're talking about... Well, let's just say we're ending Pride Month the right way.
Correct.
The way that, you know, in an intentional way, because, like, our last few episodes have not been intentionally prideful. But...
I think what we've been doing intentionally and on purpose is trying to not whitewash Pride. So we have been avoiding the whitewashing of Pride. Actively doing it.
Today, I think it's a little unavoidable, but...
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. We've been very much, like, in a time where, like, a lot of Pride is very focused on white media, where, like, here's
white
a
history.
Lot of, yeah, like, and white history.
Like, queer history has been whitewashed like a motherfucker. And then, like, there's no movies that talk about the queer movement without centering white men. And it's like, okay, so what do we talk about? Guess what? Black people the entire time. Thank you.
But
shout out.
Literally. That's what we did.
Yeah.
Yes, on purpose, but also not on purpose. Last one was definitely on purpose.
Definitely on purpose. We didn't want to talk about white folk. We're good.
Perfect. But speaking of watching stuff, I don't know. I don't know, weird way to segue, but what have you been watching? There's so much good shit coming out in June.
There's so much going on. On Netflix, there's like a new, like, kind of semi-queer storyline where there's a queer lead. We both talked about it. Have I talked about Trinkets on here?
I don't think so.
Trinkets is on Netflix. There's a queer lead. She is a Megasonic Warhead from Deadpool. She's the lead.
Shit.
In it. Yeah, that's her, dude.
Damn, she's a good actress. She's completely different on there.
Yeah, she's... It's a good show, and again, my biggest thing about teenage shows is stop having teenage girls date grown-ass adults. That would be very great, writers, to just put them in college or something, at least 21, and I don't care. At least 18, come on. These kids are, like, 16.
But, like, it was an interesting contrast. I'm not gonna spoil it, but
no.
It was an interesting contrast to this last episode of Euphoria, where they very much addressed... like older men getting with high school girls in a crazy way, but they addressed it. Euphoria's been great, by the way.
Oh my god. And talk about like having like centering a trans woman like early on, like a girl, just like a little teenage trans girl. It's
but
lit.
Very being very openly like, you know, trigger warning, like this is a very hard show to watch. Like every character goes through some really tough shit. The trans character included, very tough shit. So don't go to it thinking it's like Trinkets is very easy to watch, whereas Euphoria is kind of tough to watch. So just super trigger warning on any count that you can think of.
Yeah, don't watch this with your family members.
Violent, like
penises everywhere.
Yeah,
unnecessarily.
Like, drugs.
In episode 2. Yeah, don't watch this with your mama.
Or just don't watch it if you're like, you know, sensitive to stuff. It's a tough show to watch. But what else have you been watching?
Euphoria. Oh, what we both
los spoopies.
Los spoopies. So
I'll let you talk about it a little bit.
Fred Armisen has like this new comedy on HBO that centers like Latinos, like obsession with Latinx culture. Los Darks. That's basically like
Los Darks.
It's basically a show centering Los Darks, and it's litty because like it's so true. Like there's this whole like Primer Impacto show on there, like people are seeing God, and like that is so on the nose for like our entire culture.
Good.
Like he's just managed to like really get our fucking culture, and then like everyone's speaking Spanish like they should. I mean, they're doing everything right. Like there's one like Spanish chick in
there.
Well,
they speak like overly proper, but I think that's
on purpose.
It's on purpose, and it's very much like it also reminds me of like. You know, like English shows, nobody stutters, nobody says nobody says And that's kind of how they're doing it with that. Like, whereas in novelas, I think they allow people to be a lot more, like, improvise a lot more. So they're like, no way, canta way, you know, like, get that kind of shit. Way. Yeah, and in this show, they're all very proper, very, like, very spoopy. So, like, spoopy. That's why they don't really speak Spanish like most people do, but it's on purpose and it's cool.
It's just so on the nose. Like, we're going to talk about it, obviously, and I can't wait.
At some point,
I'm just
get a few more episodes in.
You gotta watch this shit. Watch Euphoria. Watch Los Spoopies. there's a new show premiering on Tuesday. It's called
that premiered already. Better than me. I guess
premiered already on Tuesday. What is it called, Maite?
Alternatino. So instead of alternativo, is alternatino. Which yes. has the Latino dude from Broad City.
He's fucking funny. I watched a few clips on YouTube because we haven't been able to see it yet. Because, spoiler alert, we're recording this on a Tuesday. It's funny as fuck, dude. It's on the nose in a way that's like, okay, all right, I see you, light skin privileged Latino dude. I see you.
I like him, and I like he's a dude that has an accent, and then he like the clip that I saw, he tries to not have the accent, so I don't know, it's just, I think he does pretty interesting stuff. It reminds me of like Portlandia a little bit, but like Latino version.
Yeah, kind of, without like the zeroing in on hipster shit. It's more like zeroing in on being like
racism shit.
Yeah. Yeah, racism shit, lots of it. He talks it's about cool. it. It's very good.
You know what I ran into by accident?
Who?
Not a person, a show. It's also on HBO, but I think it's technically BBC America. Mm-hmm. It's a show called Years and Years, and it's this weird show that takes place, I think, like 5 years from now. So it starts off with this kind of like mini monologue of this guy, this baby is born, and they're kind of like, you know, very existential because like global warming, because immigration is going crazy right now, because of all these crazy things that are happening politically in our world. This guy is like, oh man, I can't even imagine what it's going to be like for this little guy in 5 years. Fast forward 5 years, they like introduce all this kind of like, you know, like immigration has like toppled over. Donald Trump is like starting crazy wars with digital like islands that have popped up. I don't know. It's really fucking
digital
weird.
Islands.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's lit though. Like, I kind of want to see that. What is
I
it
think
called?
He would really like it. It's like super like political. It's called Years and Years. It's on HBO Go. You can watch it on there. That's where I watched it. It's a British show, but it kind of talks about, I don't know, like all of politics really. And it kind of does, I think it's trying to criticize, or like maybe just like talk about our new culture of being self-aware, our new culture of like not loving politics, but being like overly political. Whereas like 10 years ago, everybody was bored by politics. So it kind of is talking about that. And at the same time, it's like, because of that, because what we're trying to do is normalize things like, you know, like make things like not like racism is no longer a big deal, or like homosexuality, no longer, being trans, all these things, like in the future we hope that these things are okay. And it kind of does that, where it normalizes all that stuff, but it's like the world is still going to shit, or like there's a new level of it where people are like, I don't know how to explain it, but it's a weird,
I'm into that, that sounds really good.
it was way more interesting, and I accidentally came across it because I do maybe like a bi-weekly search of like new shows with new gay characters. Mm-hmm. It came up on, and I was like, I haven't even heard of this, but it's excellent. There's people of color in it, women of color in it specifically. They talk about like, you know, the different generations and how they view things, and and people are just, a bunch of people are queer on it. So it's interesting.
Okay, work. That's all you had to say. I mean, I was going to watch it anyways, but...
Yeah.
I think that sounds really good.
I think you'll find it pretty interesting. I think most people find it interesting. I don't know where it's going yet, because, like I said, it's critiquing... I don't know who it's critiquing.
That's a good show.
It's critiquing
like,
everyone.
I don't know what's happening.
I don't know what's happening yet, but I also do. So I suggest that if you have HBO and just want to watch something really fucking weird that's 60 minutes long.
Into that shit.
Yeah,
I heard Chernobyl's really good too, but I haven't seen it yet.
I haven't watched it.
Putting it off. I think it's like a lot of women writers involved, women directors. I don't know. I gotta watch it.
I like
do
the,
my research.
The main dude, He's the guy that does the screenwriting podcast called Script Notes. But yeah, anyways,
so, can't be bad.
Yeah, try it. But yeah.
Yeah, let's talk about coming out.
Oh Lord, coming out. So we've all like witnessed coming out on television and how wrong or right or awful or how kind of okay they've all been. So we want to do an episode where we just kind of scour through maybe the coming out stories that have hit us the hardest, maybe the ones that's actually touched and spoken to us as queer folk. We're going to take it back for y'all to like the OG coming out stories and bring it kind of into this new age of like coming out stories that are doing kind of a better job, I think, than they were back then, and the implications of coming out now on, you know, primetime TV versus like fucking 1990, whatever, whenever the OG came out. So I'm really interested in this. Like, I just, that's all I had when I was little.
I think it's super interesting that coming out episodes are kind of a thing of the past now. Like, they don't happen anymore because characters are just queer now. Like, they're in the show and it's a queer character, whereas before, like, maybe they made the decision to make the character gay a couple seasons in, or they were gay all along but they never talked about it because it was like Ellen DeGeneres, you know, like
she the OG say it.
Mm-hmm. But which I and that's probably where we should start is Ellen DeGeneres, who has one of the most, I guess, historically famous? Epic television coming out episodes, which was actually two episodes. I think it was called the puppy something the puppy episode. Mm-hmm. It was like the last season episode, like 24 and 23 or something like that, but it was all the way back in 1997.
Ooh, 97, y'all. Do y'all know what y'all was doing in 97? I was six.
I was learning English. Or something.
Work. Yeah. Get that English on, girl.
So, yeah, I watched this episode, and like a good sitcom from the 90s, you can watch just that episode and not watch any of the rest of the show, and you could still enjoy it and understand what's going on. It was, I guess they literally went several seasons of her being the star of this show, and this character was not gay the entire time. Like, she wasn't... like, she just wasn't, and she herself as a character never like came out to herself until that episode, which was really interesting. So you not only get to see her like come out to certain people, but you get to see her come out to herself, and she keeps going back to her therapist, who's played by fucking Oprah.
Yes, dude, talk about an ally. God.
Yeah, and Oprah's sitting there like going through the motions with her through the episodes, just the two episodes. And like, which was epic because it's Oprah, dude, like, especially back then.
1990s Oprah? OG Oprah with those pantsuits? Oh, go off.
And Oprah saying, they're like, you're gay and that's fine, or you're, that's okay. And telling her that was super interesting to see. And especially what really made me want to watch this episode was I saw this clip that started going around Twitter of Oprah on her show, The Oprah Show. Where this white lady's like, why would you do that? Why would you openly, like, you know, act like it's okay to be gay and say all those things and support that, like, when it's against God and blah, 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 blah. And this lady was, like, wild homophobic. And she was, like, dead ass in her face, told her, like, no, you're wrong. Like, you know, defending gay rights, like...
OG Oprah, she'd go into the crowd, yeah, and be like, bitch!
Straight up in her face. And, like... telling this lady who's like crying, like, she's, that's how bad it was. This lady's crying about it, like, in front of this mic, telling Oprah that she's wrong. And Oprah's,
you don't,
like,
tell Oprah she wrong.
Yeah,
white ladies in the 90s,
seat. You're gay now. No, I'm just kidding. But I don't know, I just thought that it was so interesting that she had Oprah on there and that Oprah openly supported this whole thing in 1997. Like, that's really amazing. Like, even now, you don't really see huge figures like that openly talking about, yeah, gay stuff. Like, if Beyonce came out here, like, yeah, gay stuff, like, you just don't see that. So
yeah, one time she waved a flag on her Instagram story.
Amazing.
That was it. Yeah, that was all her support right there. Wow.
yeah, so it was really great. And then she also, Oprah in the show, in the storyline, is like, Ellen is like telling her, she has this moment kind of like the one that we talked about on Tales of the City. mm-hmm. where she's like, you don't get it. You don't get it what it's like for society to see you this way and for them to, like, oppress you. She's like, oh, really? Make you sit in the back of the bus? Like, something like that. And then Ellen, like, gets it. She gets it. She's like, oh, fuck, you're right. Like, you're right, yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna shut up.
Yeah. Kind of, like, sits down and gets humble real quick. But it's really interesting, like, it's such a blatant comparison to racism. And I thought it was, like, that, like, where, it, you know, an old school black audience member, like, watching that, who had homophobic tendencies, because who the fuck doesn't? Like, and they're watching that, and then they compare it to racism. Like, something could click right there, right? Like, I think a lot of things clicked for me once I realized what homophobia was. When I was way too late in my life, but when I realized what homophobia was, I was like, I get all the phobias, you know?
I get all the phobias.
I understand now.
Damn, dude. Like, I remember, like, that's the thing that Oprah used to do, is that she'd have, like, queer people going out there talking about how, like, hard it's been since they came out. I remember that. So shout out to Oprah for being, like, an ally, like a real one.
Forever ago, yeah.
Queer people on her platform forever ago. So shout out to her. Shout out to Oprah. We love Oprah.
Yeah. And they had, like, a mini sort of almost love story with Laura fucking Dern. Hey! And I had just watched the latest episode of Big Little Lies too.
Oh,
so I was
shit.
Super shook. I was like, this is the Laura Dern that I would need in my life. Like, I don't know. I loved it. I love seeing
Laura
her
Dern,
on
the
there.
Icon. I love her. Yeah. I mean, the queer women have always loved Laura Dern. And
I wonder, and I don't know, but I wonder if she was the first gay Susan, because, you know, there's always gay Susans.
Yes, dude. She's Friends. The OG gay Susan.
Yeah, she was just another gay Susan.
We stan. Oh, dude.
It was great. She did. She pulled that shit off.
Oh, dude. Have you, did you hear about, like, Ellen's, like, she went on the David Letterman show on Netflix and kind of, like, talked about her life and talked about coming out in real life to her mom. And, like, I think everybody should watch that, too. It's on that David Letterman, my next guest is Ellen DeGeneres or some shit. It's really good. That's
no, I always
good.
Avoid it because I always see Kanye's face on, like, the thumbnail.
Oh, God. Fuck
I'm always
Kanye.
Like, I'm good.
Still.
Well, thank you.
Forever. But, yeah, it was a really good episode. You learn a lot about Ellen, and she kind of, like, really shared her own story about her own survival and the things she had to go through as a kid. So I think that was really good. But shout out to her coming out first. You know that shit ruined her career, right?
I mean, until she got that talk show, but yeah.
Well, actually, what saved her was that she got cast in as the voice of Dory in Finding Nemo. And after that, they gave her a talk show. So shout out.
Are you sure?
Yep. She said it in the interview with David Letterman. She was like, I didn't have shit. I moved back home. Like, suddenly I get a call for some guy who didn't watch TV at Pixar and was like, I need you as the voice of Dory. He's like, I don't know what.
Oh,
like,
shit. I think, yeah, you're right. The Ellen show started in 2003.
Yeah. She said that, like, this guy hadn't been watching TV, that they'd been working on Finding Nemo for, like, maybe 8-10 years or some shit.
Yeah.
And so he's like, nah, like, I don't know what you're talking about. And he didn't hear about that. He didn't care. No one at Pixar cared, because all of them were, like, working on that. So they called her up. She was Dory after that.
So
she's
for like 5 years, because her show, it was like, that was the end of her show. And she.
Yeah. She got canceled.
That was, yeah. She came out in 97 and the show lasts to 98. And then she had nothing until 2003, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Like, her career exists because of Dory and like.
Oh, wait, no. I think maybe there was. Sorry, I'm like doing research as we're talking. She came out on the Oprah show. I didn't know that.
Yeah, she was on the Oprah show and then,
like,
she came out
her,
again.
In real life, yeah. She came out as that.
I saw that when I was little, dude. It was crazy. I was so scared. You know when you watch something and it hits a little too close to home and you're like, my heart's beating so fast. Like, what's going on? I think I relate. So that was a little too real.
Oh, so okay. So she did have something. So 2001, 2002, she had another sitcom called The Ellen Show. It only lasted from 01 to 02.
Mm-hmm.
So she did have something. It's just didn't
last. That's not the show that she came out in?
Was it? No. Ellen is the one that she came out in. That one lasted like 4 years. And then she tried again with another sitcom. And then
she got canceled,
right?
Mm-hmm.
After about a year. And then she got cast in. Or she was already in Finding Nemo. And then she got her talk show.
Mm-hmm. That saved her whole like career. It was Dory. So I think that's really
fucking cool. Or definitely jump started it again. That's interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. Like, back in the 90s, right? Like, but think about it like this. Like, in the 90s, you got canceled for coming out. Like, your whole career could go downhill, and now it's like people are redefining that. Like, culture's changed, and I think it's really beautiful. Even in what I've researched, there was a fucking maybe a couple 9-8 year gap, and it's completely different. It's a completely different story, different coming out story. I think it's really interesting. So I don't know. Shout out to Ellen for being like brave enough to do that shit. Because honestly, who else is gonna fucking take that fall like that?
Yeah, her coming out special is actually funny. Like, I don't know if you'll know this, but Ellen's actually back in the day, she was funny.
She's funny. She's really funny.
She had great sitcom humor, like, in particular. Because some people are not pulling off sitcoms these days.
Not just that, like, her comedy writing, like, her actual books are fucking funny. Like, I guess, my mom should know I was gay when I was, like, 15. I bought, like, a Ellen DeGeneres book of just, like, her talking, and it was amazing. And it's the best thing I've ever read. It's hilarious. Wow. Yeah, it's good stuff, dude. But, yeah, shout out to, you know, OG white women coming out, you know? Shout out to that. Like,
go ahead, props. Yeah. So fast forward a couple of decades, and we saw a completely different kind of coming out, but kind of similar, where they decided a couple of seasons in, or a few seasons into Glee, that somebody else should be gay other than just a feminine white guy.
Dude, okay. Guys, go back. Let's go back to 2011.
Back to the beginning.
Shout out to 2011 and pre-legal marriage, pre-legal gay marriage. Like, this was, like, before we could have ever fathomed that shit would ever happen. Like, 2011, I didn't think, like, we were going to be able to ever get married. I didn't think we'd ever be accepted by society ever. And, like, I was completely hopeless in 2011. And I think it shows in the reaction of this episode. So... Glee, you're problematic as fuck. You're gonna get dragged for a portion of this because it was pretty shitty.
We've already dragged it in the past.
No, like, they need to. So Santana, aka in real life Naya Rivera, in this episode comes out, but guess what? She doesn't come out. She's outed by a cis white straight boy, and she slaps the shit out of him for outing her. And see, that's where it's problematic. I'm like, okay, you're gonna let some white men out you, and everyone's just like, everyone in this like episode is just like, it's okay that this white man outed you, like, it's perfectly fine.
Who this is all her? Can I forget?
This is all acceptable. Finn outed her.
That piece of shit.
Yes.
Actually,
yes.
I feel bad talking shit about him. Never mind.
I mean, I take the character, not the actual human.
He died too.
Yeah, I don't remember that part, girl. I stopped watching. Anyways, so Finn outs Santana at the very beginning of this episode, and it's kind of gross. It's really gross. Like, that's the one thing you know when you're queer, is that you don't out people. Even if you know they're queer, you shut the fuck up. You respect their privacy. You have no right to out another human being. It's, you never know the extenuating circumstance that people are going through. So, like, for safety, for, like, so many reasons, you just don't out people, period. So fuck this show. But this episode's kind of cute because it was called I Kissed a Girl, and everyone's just trying to make Santana feel good that she's queer, and they're just trying to, like, get her to, like, hey, it's okay to love yourself. I just hate that, like, all the straights, you see the quotation marks, are trying to make Santana feel good about being queer, and it's just, it's annoying to me. But whatever, we'll keep it moving. Now the centerpiece of this episode and the centerpiece of the story is that Santana comes out to her abuela, and they made sure to for us to know that it's her abuela, not her grandma, that she's coming out to. Like, there's Spanglish involved, they're having conversation in a kitchen, Santana's eating food because, you know, that's what abuelas do, I guess. You know, you're in my kitchen, I'm gonna feed you, you're supposed to eat. And the coming out story hurt. It was really fucking painful to watch in 2011. I wasn't out yet. And watching Santana get completely and utterly rejected by her grandma after just expressing the most sincere, most honest thing, most vulnerable thing you could say to someone. Well, one of the most vulnerable things you could say to someone, and for that person that you love to just reject you. In 2011, like, gay marriage isn't legalized. Like, this shit hurt, y'all. Watching, like, an abuela actively go, like, all religious. She gives Santana the, you know, the typical, like, just, it's not the sin itself, it's talking about the sin that makes it bad, and why did you have to impose your sexuality on me? And, you know, you can see, like, Santana just, like, fucking break down. She's like, the bitch is, like, done with this conversation. Grandma said, leave. I never want to see you ever again. Like, yo, like, I wasn't out the closet then, so it was, like, one of the most scary things I could have seen was, like, this is this queer Latina who I've never been able to see, like, a queer Latinx person come out like that, and they do on fucking Glee in 2011, and this is what I see? Nah, this shit broke my heart, dude. Do you remember this episode?
I do, and I remember, like, I think, like you said, it was 2011. Every show didn't have a queer person, like, kind of does now, and it was, like, it was tough because, like, you know, it was like Santana and Brittany were like a ship. So everybody was like, oh, we want it to happen. And then, like, thought it never would. And then it did.
Yes. But,
you know, Ryan Murphy kind of has a history of, like, doing really heartbreaking stuff when it comes to queer POC. Like, let's look at Pose. Dude's great at that. Dude's great at, like, fucking you up.
I mean, Pose also has a lot of love, which is different from what we're used to seeing, is that there's a lot of love in Pose. And Glee, there was love, but for queer POC, not so much.
I mean, yeah, I guess it depends. Like you said, you didn't finish it.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, I know it's, like, a happy ending for Santana, but, you know, it's not, like, the same. You know, it's not like, let's have joy.
No,
it's
like, I mean, we're going to give you this pain. Pose is far superior, but what I'm saying is that, like, mm-hmm. when it comes to coming out and being a queer POC, like, he has always brought on the pain. And that's what he did here. That was his first little dabble into it.
It was
fucking tough.
It worked, and dude.
It was tough. But for me, I couldn't be mad at it. Like, now, if I saw something like that on a brand new show, I would be mad at it. But I couldn't be mad at it back then because you rarely saw queer characters of color, period, that had any substance. And there was some substance here. And it was kind of shitty, but it was also kind of like...
It's honest.
I think if, like, the grandmother had been like, oh, it's fine, I'd be like, fuck off.
Like, I don't know. No, just because it was painful doesn't mean it wasn't true. I think what hurt because it felt... true, you know, it felt like whoever was writing this, it came from a real place. Yes, there you go. And it's the authenticity of that came through, and that's not something queer folk want to feel, but it's there and it's real, and it was very real in 2011. So society wasn't where it was now. We think about it, it was like 8 years ago, right? That's a long motherfucking time, and a lot has changed since 2011, you know, just our technology. Yeah. And it's like the culture to come a little bit further, I'll take it.
Yeah, definitely, absolutely. But yeah, so that was Santana broke her heart, and Glee was a very spotty show in general. Yeah,
but that was pretty wow in 2011, right? Wow. Mm-hmm.
Back then, yeah, y'all did a little song.
Yeah.
So fast forward a little more, and we have a couple of other shows, like another example of somebody that deciding to change the character, because this character was not originally queer. The long-standing queer character in Brooklyn Nine-Nine has been Captain Holt, who was kind of an epic character to have too, because it's like this, he's the captain of a police force, which fuck the police, but he is openly queer man and he was black, and he, like, they talk about it, his history of, like, his struggles in the force and getting to where he was and all the hard work that there was, because there was so much discrimination and layers of it, not just one thing or another. So he was, like, the epic one. So, but then Stephanie Beatriz came out in real life, which inspired creators behind the Brooklyn Nine-Nine team to do the same with Rosa Diaz, who is this, like, badass, actually, who actually very much came up as queer to a lot of people. I think probably before she came out, I would have done a Should Have Been Gay, Rosa Diaz. And then they made her bi, and they kind of did a similar thing where it was really tough. Like, she had a tough time telling anybody and she's a little bit older, right? She's not exactly from our generation. Her character's a little older, so that makes sense. And then she had to tell her very Latino parents, and they got a half-half situation where half of them were okay, half of them were not. It was just tough, and it was not easy. And I don't know, maybe every now and then you can't go super easy on it, right? Like, shit ain't perfect.
No, I mean, that made it more authentic. Like, we keep saying, like, yeah, it's shitty to watch, but it's real, and that still exists. It's still a lot of people's realities. And those are for the people that actually get to come out. Because, again, a lot of people don't have the privilege to.
Right. Especially, like, actors. So I think it was a special little tribute to her as an actress from the creators. I think it was cute. I don't know, because I think the actress said that she came out in real life. When she came out in real life, she got blowback from her real life family. So that was tough. No matter what, I think there's been criticisms for Stephanie Beatriz here and there, but she's pretty fucking brave for coming out.
And having that conversation on fucking national television, that's like crazy. Like, but also, like you said, mad brave. So
yeah,
props to her. Absolutely. Out here doing the damn thing. Mm-hmm. But and I mean, let's talk about that other one.
Fast forward a little more. I don't watch this show very much, but I did watch this scene where a coming out story for a younger character of color, a little queer girl of color. I would love for you to tell me about it.
Look, I watched this show with my mom because it was like free therapy for her. And honestly, This Is Us is this cute little show about this family. It's a complicated drama. It really gives you get you crying about every episode for anything. But the reason why we're highlighting it today is because one of their youngest characters comes out as queer. And it's kind of super beautiful. And it was literally almost my experience. And watching this episode, you watch this little girl. Fun fact, this episode, let's back it up. Sorry, guys. We got to back it all the way up because we got to give props where they're due. It was directed by Catherine Hardwicke. She's the same woman that directed 13 and directed the first Twilight movie.
Oh, word.
Yeah.
The first Twilight movie is the only good one. I would say this a lot.
Good one. They purposefully only wanted to hire men after Twilight was a success. She's an indie filmmaker. The first Twilight is an indie.
It's the only good one.
She directed this episode, and I think it's really special and interesting because we're watching a young queer she's a little baby, come out, and we rarely get to see, like we just talked about, is people of color come out or black women come out and it not be violent, it not be dangerous,
tragic,
and not be tragic like Pariah, although Pariah is completely necessary in a beautiful movie. Beautiful movie. But in the lovely, beautiful, amazing thing about this movie is that what we get to see is black queer acceptance from a black family. And I think it's so rare. And I think it's just like real. And we need to see it more, because watching this little girl just have a healthy relationship with her parents where she felt comfortable enough to go, hey, I have been getting stomach aches. I've been feeling anxious. I feel like I'm hiding something from you. I'm just gonna be straight up. I don't like none of these little boys. I think I like other little girls. And what she's so scared in that moment, and you see the fear on this little girl, this amazing acting by this little girl. You see this fear, you see this apprehension. You don't know, you just see all of it there, and I feel really connected to that fear. And I think that's what most queer people feel is that fear of like what's going to happen in the moments directly after I say this. And instead, mom and dad just accept her immediately. And it's the most loving, beautiful thing that I wish everyone could hear when they came out, was just like, we still love you. I mean, we're always going to love you. That changes literally nothing. If you ever want to talk about it, we're here. We understand if you don't want to yet. And I was just like, who are these healthy humans and their reactions to things, and can I keep them? And we never get to see queer little black girls come out and be safe and have a loving, caring safe space with their own family. So to me, it was beautiful. I fucking cry every time I watch it. And honestly, if that's where the future goes in 2019, moving forward for queer black girls, queer people of color moving forward, then I think we're doing good out here. If that's where we're headed, where it's a conversation, but it was a big, you know, okay, it's fine. Yeah. It's cool. So I cried. I just cried.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was pretty cute. I guess I didn't have much of a connection to the characters because I don't watch the show, but I thought it was a very cute scene. And that such a big show did that. You know, it has such a wide reach.
So casually.
It's very important. It's very, very important to see. And I hope that they continue on with that. I don't even know if the show's still running. I'm assuming
it's still going. It's a hit. Like, everyone, yeah. It's keeping NBC afloat right now because literally everyone watches This Is Us.
So. Well, Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
And Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
It's there now.
It's there now, you know. But, you know.
Fuck the police, but still, yeah.
Fuck the police forever. But yes, and but it was cute, and it was really healthy. Everyone was just dealing with that in the most healthy way, and I think there's hope, you know? Like, every time I get, like, depressed about the world, I'm like, oh, shit, there's something. So.
Yeah. Feel that. Cool. We've talked about this one many a time, but honorary mention to one of our favorite coming out stories on a very personal level.
Oh,
because
yeah.
It had a little bit of everything, right? It had a character actually going through the coming out process with themselves and with their family, and it had a character who was a Latina coming out, very importantly, and two other generations dealing with that. And it wasn't perfect. It wasn't like a perfect coming out. It wasn't a perfect click. And you got to see some of that struggle, but it was still an overtly positive reaction.
And what else are we talking about?
What am I talking about? What am I talking about?
It's always one day at a time.
One day at a time.
Hey.
Elena DeGeneres.
Elena Alvarez is like, God damn, like, talking about representation really does motherfucking matter. We're still talking about her. We're never going to stop talking about her. That shit was amazing writing. Those fucking writers, man.
Shout out Michelle.
That shit, man. We get to see a Latina come out. We get to see Latina have a messy relationship with her father, and he gets to be full-on machista, you know? And you get to see that and what that actually means and how it breaks people down and apart. And Abuela, shout out to Abuela. She just fucking rolled with it. She was just like, okay.
My personal favorite, the mom dealing with it and talking about it with various people and going to the bar.
Going to a queer bar and meeting a dude.
Love that. Love it.
Love her forever. And then I guess another show that we have mentioned before and will continue to mention as well and didn't have a necessarily... It was a human experience of coming out. And another time we got to see a queer black woman come out. And it wasn't necessarily... It was perfect the way it was written, actually. I think it was perfect.
Yeah. Not as young of a representation, but somebody who's a little older going to Thanksgiving throughout the years. And she brings home a girl.
Several.
Denise on Master of None.
Several.
Yeah.
Was it Nipples and Toes 23?
The struggle.
Shout out to Lena Waithe. She won her fucking Emmy off this episode of Master of None. And it's honestly, it's my favorite episode for Master of None. If you take anything from that show, it's that episode.
It's like really the only good one, but yeah.
There's another one where, you know, he's not centered.
I know, you like the anthology one, yeah.
Yeah, where it's all immigrants and people that never get it talked about. That was a good episode, too. But yeah, no, talk about a coming out story. I mean, coming out to Angela Bassett, dude? Fucking legend.
Terrifying.
Oh, yeah, terrifying, but to see that's amazing. That's fucking great.
It was a great episode, yeah. And also a quick shout out to a more recent coming out story with an Asian American character on Good Trouble.
Sure.
Which is like a spinoff from The Fosters, and that's a pretty good show too. I think they're doing pretty solid as far as representation goes and like modern topics go. And I like their story. Like, it took me a minute to get used to their storytelling style, but it's pretty good. So shout out to Alice In real life, played by Sherry Cola, who I met once at a bar, and she was really sweet and noticed that we had the same hat on.
She's the shit. I love Sherry Cola. She's acting so cool on that fucking show, adorable. Her coming out story, I cried as well, but it's fine. It's whatever. I don't.
Yeah, for sure. Fucking coming out.
Damn, have we talked about like the minimal few good rep of coming out episodes or that are tragic? You know,
talk worthy ones.
Yeah, I mean, they're not like completely tragic and like centered around white men coming out.
Right.
We did pretty good. We didn't center that many people that weren't like only Ellen.
Only Ellen was white.
Yeah, but we gotta.
I guess Elena's kind of white, to be honest.
So. Elena, yeah, she's like the Spanish speaking. What's her face? My queen. Speak no,
Isabella Gomez. Does.
Isabella Gomez speaks Spanish. My bad. She's the next. She should be the next Princess Diaries, but you know, I'm just throwing that out there into the universe.
Honestly, Anne Hathaway's daughter.
She just looks just like her. It's weird.
Here for it. She like. Somehow, like, they have to bring in that she's, like, the princess of Spain or something. I don't know.
Yeah, she got there. With, like, some prince of, like, Spain, and that's their kid.
Or princess of Spain, yeah.
Or princess of Spain. I would prefer that version. Ooh, Anne Hathaway, call me.
That's where
day.
I'm going. No. Anne Hathaway. I'm trying to think of what other, like,
other coming out stories?
Specials. Yeah. I like the Dairy Girls one.
Dairy.
I don't know if you've ever seen
Dairy Girls was the shit.
That one was pretty good. I don't want to spoil it because it's kind of like the big thing that happens in season one at the end.
It's very good.
But there's a coming out thing, yeah. Like throughout the whole first season, everybody's like trying to figure out who's gay or whatever. And they find out.
Honorable mention to Everything Sucks, even though it got canceled.
Yeah, there was not really any coming out there, but... Honorable mention.
For
they did a whole episode on it. Actually,
they didn't get a second season, so that's why
they didn't. We did a whole episode. We didn't post it on our main feed because it got canceled, so we put it on Patreon. So if any of you want to go on patreon.com/CYC podcast, you'll hear that one along with like other, I don't know, dozen episodes that we've done. That's just purely for Patreon at this point. God, what else? Coming out episodes. I don't know. I'm sure there's more. Honestly, I want to hear from you guys and what your favorite coming out stuff has been. Then maybe we can talk about it on Patreon or something.
Yes.
We can have a coming out reacts episode or something.
Yes, let us know. What's your favorite coming out episode or which one did you fucking hate? Like, let these bitches know. We'll most likely watch it. Like, 1,000%.
I'd love to watch some more. Because I'm sure that there was some that we're forgetting, but... And there was also a bunch that were, like, white dudes that we didn't care about.
Yeah, we're not centering them ever.
Sorry about it. Like,
shout out to Pride and us not centering white men. Ooh.
Yeah.
We really did a good job at not doing that. I'm really proud of us.
Nice little pat on the back there.
Yeah, we're patting our own backs. Thank you so much. Happy Pride, you guys. If you're not out, or don't.
Like, this is honestly... for you. I hope you got to at least see some cool shit, even if like you weren't out.
Yeah, like either way, whether you're out or you feel not safe enough to be out, we love you either way. And you don't have to come out for anyone if you don't want to ever. Honestly, live your life and do your thing and just be safe. Honestly, just be safe out here, because the world is burning.
So, do you? Yeah, watch like, years and years. It's burning, like, literally.
Yeah, just, like, you know, live your life as best as you can. Abolish ICE. Fuck Donald Trump. Black women lives matter.
It is a concentration camp.
It's a fucking concentration camp. Donate your fucking money to Raices. Let me know when the uprising and the revolution is. I'll show up for once. I'll make sure to take my pills before I leave the house, and we can get this revolution started. It's fine. It's all good.
Let's go.
Yes.
Yeah. So I guess that's pretty. I think I don't know if you want to do this. Talk about what Pride means to you.
Guess we finally should do that, right? We should finally talk about
what
Pride means
to us. Should we talk about it? Shout out to Let Me Know Pod. He wants to know what Pride means to me.
Well, you've had more time to think about it, so you should go first.
I mean, I haven't.
Oh,
I feel like I mean, don't know. I feel like I can just spitball here if I just think about it real quick. Yeah. Because honestly, I don't want to like have some sort of like orchestrated, like pre-written.
No. Let's be organic.
Yeah.
Just let that shit flow.
What's the real shit? Like, what does pride mean to me? Like, I don't know, man. Like, it's honestly weird. It's weird to walk around and see all the rainbow stuff sometimes and be like, okay, what is that? I don't know. Like, I like it when I do it, like for my, for like this weekend when we went and had a pool party, as I mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. And I bought like a big old pride pool towel and like whatever, beach towel actually is what they're called. And it was just like, you know, for the photo op, and I loved it.
You said for the photo op.
Go off. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I don't like to wear the rainbow stuff, but I did go to the Dodgers and the Lakers and the LA Galaxy games for their free pride swag. To me, it's kind of like about supporting. Like you said, we have gay marriage legalized. We have a few protections in some states, and I feel like if we stop fighting for it and stop showing the pride and stop having the parades, it's like everything could kind of regress. Not that it doesn't regress here and there, but it, you know, we have to keep trying to move forward, and it feels like the fight never really stops. So for me, it's about fighting, and it's about supporting, you know, certain things. So for me, it's been like supporting going to local pride stuff and showing that there are the people that are standing for it. And because the personal stuff, the personal journey and emotional stuff, like that's stuff that I went through before I even ever celebrated a pride. And that was tough and had a lot to do with rejecting myself. So that's personally, it's a whole different thing. Like on the surface though, it's more about fighting and keeping on showing people that we're here. I don't know.
I like that. Yeah. Like showing up in this month and just being like, you remember us? We gay and we in your face now.
Yes, please get upset. Fuck it. Because, you know,
fuck y'all. I don't even like a rainbow, but I'm going to wave this shit in your face, motherfucker.
Yeah, if I have to wake up mad at straight people in June, you're going to wake up mad at gay people. Fuck it.
I don't know. For me, pride is like a feeling. And it's not just concentrated into one month, but I think capitalism, you know, got us thinking it's just one month of pride. For me, pride always just makes me think of other people, of me and my time that I wasn't out for 26 fucking years. So I always think about the people who aren't out during pride. I think about how much I wish that they could maybe be okay and to be safe. And I really just always think about the closet during pride. I think about the people who are living in fear, people who don't have safe situations to come out into and be themselves. And I think about all the other queer people in the world that are oppressed, not just Americans who get to have this like little cute little parade with their rainbows in the month of June. I think it's just like people who fought for this. And it's always, you know, trans, black, Latinx folks that are still living to this day in fear of their life. And I just, for me, like Pride is the one time of the year where maybe we can create a safe space for each other anywhere, in any place. But I wish that was true. In Texas, it's not true. And anywhere in a lot of places in the world, it's not true. But I think of the people in the closet, and I just want to tell y'all I love y'all. And I hope that one day y'all are brave enough or safe enough to do the thing that you most fear, you know? And so just love to my closeted folks and people that never get to come out, so...
Yeah, definitely. We've got to recognize our out privilege.
I always think about that shit, dude. It's depressing. Yeah. I've been going through my feelings. Sorry. Cancer season, bro.
No, it's completely fine. I actually...
Being emotional.
I guess the only reason that my answer wasn't more similar to that is because I'm not fully out. But, you know, I don't like to think about that stuff. But you're right. Shout out to all those people.
Yeah.
Shout out to half of me.
I mean, and you know, you never even have to come out to everyone. It's a case-by-case basis about safety. It's about just protecting yourself, honestly, and protecting your own energy.
Shout out to us halfies. Yeah.
Hey!
You guys are allowed to half celebrate too.
No, be as proud as you want and proud as you need to be, and just be safe. So
yeah,
all my love to y'all out there. So yeah.
Peace and blessings.
My feelings. I'm emotional.
All right, guys. We'll catch us next week on Patreon. Next week is our once a month Patreon exclusive episode. So that's at CYC Podcast if you want to look us up. And we'll post the links and post on CYC Podcast on Instagram and Twitter about it. Otherwise, for the rest of you, check us out the week after. I don't know what we're talking about yet, but we'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out. Y'all be good. Y'all be safe. Don't do anything I would.
Surprise. Send us your coming out episode faves.
Let us know if you want to come out. If you ever want to, don't want to come out, tell us why. We don't care. Let's go. Let's have that conversation. Let's do it. But yeah, love all you babies and keep being proud every fucking month of the year and keep being as gay and as loud or as quiet as you want to be.
All right, bye guys. Bye.